about some things, and one of the things that that the Lord really touched me about is, what do you do with your dreams? You know, have you had have God ever placed anything to dream in you from a young person? How did you internalize it? How did you deal with it? And we just want to talk concerning a few things with that tonight. And in the 90th Psalm in verse, in the 12th verse, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." In scripture theology, wisdom is truth, godliness, piety, the knowledge and fear of God, and the sincere and unformed obedience to His command. This is wisdom, which is from above. Have you ever really thought about the wisdom of God? How you would deal with it? How would you internalize it? In the 90th Psalm, if we most of us know that Moses was interceding to God for a group of people who wouldn't stop looking back at their past hurts, the past imprisonment that they had been in, their past sorrows, their past pains, their past heartaches. And Moses, can you imagine the challenge that he had leading a group of people, trying to get them to go to a land of promise, and they could never quit looking back?
Amen.
Can you imagine trying to lead a group of people to a dream that God has, or something God has placed in your heart, and they can't quit looking back at their past hurts, their past pains? And every time you gather together, that's the first thing they start talking about, is their past hurts, their past pains. But in verse 12, Moses asked God to teach us to number our days beyond the 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years or more that we might live. But if you notice what he said, beyond that, but give us godly wisdom from above to live these years. Have you ever really asked God for godly wisdom to help you in this journey that you're on? And one of the things that really just began to deal in the Lord to deal with me is, have we really allowed the wisdom of God to determine our future? Or have we determined it on our own? Have we allowed the wisdom of God just to deal with our thought process? Or do we deal with it our own? Have we really have you really protected your heart? Or have you allowed things to go into your heart that pretty much destined your future, good or bad? Or did you protect your heart with godly wisdom and keep those things out? I don't know if you've ever read this excerpt by John Etheridge in The Journey of Desire. And I want you to really think about this as I read. We are at war, and the bloody battle is our own heart. I am astonished how few Christians see this, how little they protect their heart. We act as though we live in a sleepy little town during peacetime. We don't. We live in a spiritual equivalent of a war-torn country, do we act like it? Or we just do we watch over our heart? Do we let just anything in? Do not let it go just anywhere. When what goes in your heart, do you just let it go anywhere? What is this going to do to my heart? Have you ever asked that question? The things that you're dealing with daily, have you ever asked the question, what is this really doing to my heart?
Amen.
And you know, this past week, when I was dealing with this situation, do you know what it really done to my heart? It really made me look inside and say, do I have a true heart of compassion? Do I really feel the feelings of or the hurt of what this family is going through from the sins of their father? And then the ones on the outside, because they're not accepted. And the Lord, you know, and it just really began to insert them.
Amen.
When we really challenge ourselves, do we have love and compassion for our brothers and sisters? And then when I go back and look, it says in the scripture, when Jesus healed anybody, or when he done anything for anybody, he done it because he had compassion on him. Do we have compassion? Or do we allow the things that happen to form things in our heart that we won't have compassion for our fellow man? And that we become, you know, we'll say, okay, well, I'm going to look at this in a conservative way, straight lined. Or do we look at it in a compassionate, loving way? And that really challenged me to go back and look at the life of Joseph. At 17 years old, he had two dreams. And those two dreams that he had, even though the outcome would be something great, look what it done to his life. Have you ever thought about if you put yourself where Joseph was, how would you react to it? And at 17 years old, did he have godly wisdom? I doubt it. Mm-hmm. At the age that we're at, do we always use godly wisdom? I probably doubt it. But if you notice something, God had to carry Joseph through several things so he would be where God needed him to be at the right time he needed him to be there. Have we ever really thought about that God carried us through all the stuff that we've been through in our life to get us where he needed us to be?
Amen.
At that particular time. And if you notice, if Potiphar's wife had never lied on Joseph, he would have never went further.
Yes.
But if you notice, Joseph didn't go to the hardcore prison. God protected him. Mm-hmm. He went to a prison where high-ranking servants people went to. So they wasn't with the guys behind the wall that was doing hard time. God protected him. And the thing is, what if God was to send you to prison? Somebody lied on you. How would you deal with it? What would it do to your heart? And that's the thing. What would it do to your heart? What did it do to Joseph's heart? And if you notice something, God made sure that Joseph had faith in person, even though he sinned there. Do you trust God enough if He was to send you the person that He would have faith before you there? How would it fit your heart? How would you internalize it? What would it really do for you? And if you notice something, even in prison, God gave Joseph free range. So He was still protecting him. He allowed him to deal with things and not be confined. And if you notice, the baker and the butler both wound up in prison. Scripture never really say what they done.
Right.
It says that the baker was supposed to cook the food. They have a tendency to think the baker might have tried the poison Pharaoh, and the butler was supposed to taste the food to make sure if it was any poison in it, then he was the one that would get killed.
Yeah.
But in the process, they both wound up in prison. But you notice what happened. One of them wound up losing his head while he was in prison.
Yeah.
But the other one, when Joseph interpreted his dream, that dream stayed alive in that man, what Joseph told him for 2 years. When God really plants something in us, do you allow it to stay alive, or do you let it die? Do you forget about it? How do you really internalize it in your heart? Is it with godly wisdom, or you just let it go? And if you notice, on the same day, or at the same time, Joseph met both of these guys. And when the butler was released, if you notice, when Pharaoh had these dreams, and if you notice, God allowed Pharaoh to have that same dream twice. Two times. So Pharaoh had no sense to know that, you know, this should really mean something. And when you look, could none of the magicians or none of the soothsayers or enchanters or the root men, whatever you want to call them, when none of them could come up with the answer of the dream, the butler remembered after 2 years, you know what? There's a guy down there in the captain's prison or in the high official's prison that can interpret that dream. Well, by that time, Joseph was 37. And he had developed some godly wisdom.
Yep.
Do we really use godly wisdom when we make decisions? Or do we allow the things from our past, how they have affected our heart, to make our decision? Joseph could even sell Pharaoh anything. Man, y'all done got me in prison. I done been locked up in here for almost 20 years. Why should I help you? But the thing is, godly wisdom.
Man.
Have you ever thought about the things from your past? How did they affect you? How are they affecting you now? Have you truly let them go? But if you notice something, Joseph had let all of these things go. And the simple reason is after he interpreted the dreams to Pharaoh, he wasn't concerned about Pharaoh or bringing him to this great position. But the note that God had implanted godly wisdom in him, you know what the first sign is? What he named his sons. Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
Means forgiveness. Oh, I forgot about it. It's no longer remembered. Nothing that you done to me. And then the other son, Ephraim, fruitfulness. And you know, the thing is, if you look, Joseph said, I'll take all the sins of my past, what my brother's done to me, and everything, and I placed it on my family. By the name that I named my child.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I forgot it. It's in the past.
Amen.
Do we forget it and let it go? Or do we still harbor these things in our heart? Have you ever noticed sometimes we'll be sitting around in a group setting, and all of a sudden, one word is said, and boom, somebody that will spark something from their past.
Yeah.
So they haven't let go. It's still there. That pain is still there. That scar is still there. But here's the guy, because of what God, the wisdom that God gave him, he knew it wasn't about him.
Mm-hmm.
It far exceeded what God needed him to do, was far beyond anything that had ever happened in his past. And his son Ephraim, his name, you know, faithfulness, that God had even give him favor and a foreign land that he did nothing about. Do we depend on whatever situation that God put us in, that he'll give us favor?
Mm.
Or do we strike out and say, you know what, I'm going to do this? But do we depend on godly wisdom that God will give us favor?
Amen.
And that will move us beyond any problem or any situation that we might encounter. You know, one of the most frightful, fearful things that I've seen lately is, Lord, where are we going from here when we move from out of here with this home group meeting? Where are we going? Are we really going to be successful? Or is it going to just be a blank? But then, when I begin to pray, God said, you know what? You're not going to do it. Brother David, not going to do it. I'm going to do it.
That's right.
Just do what I've called you to do. And allow me to do the rest. Use some godly wisdom.
Amen.
And allow the trains, the things that I've placed in your heart.
That's good.
And the rest of the people's heart.
Amen.
Allow me to do what I need to do. See, these areas are dying town.
Yes.
An ungodly town. A place that's got over 14,000 people in it and less than 2,000 attend church.
Yeah.
So, if you step out, and he carried me back to the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, where the water was flowing out from under the doorway of the church. And if you notice, the water, when it flowed out into the desert dry land, it was to the ankle. Then the water went to the knee. Then the water went to the waist. And all of a sudden, you had to swim. But you know what? God said, you know, you've been walking. You've been skirting along. Now, you got to go swim. Trust me that I'll do what I've called you to do. And if you notice, when the water or when the Spirit of God flowed from out of the building or out of the sanctuary and it went into a dry and desert area, everything it touched, it gave life.
Amen.
What we speak from out of the inside of us, does it give life? Or do we always speak death? Or do we always speak unbelief? Or do we speak hope? Do we speak reconciliation? You know, the thing is, if you can move forward You got to have reconciliation and peace with your past.
Amen.
And then that clears your heart totally up for what God chose to do in your life. That was one of my biggest battles, is reconciliation with my past. To let it go and have peace so I could walk into the future with God. Have we truly prepared ourselves to walk out into what God's called us to?
Amen.
Because trust me, there's some obstacles out there. Everybody not going to like us. And all of a sudden, we move from out of this enclosure to we stepping out. Are we going to trust God that what's flowed out of here going to give life to a broken, hurt, desolate community? And not only that, what flows out of here is it going to give life to other places, international ministry, prison ministry, nursing home ministry. Because the thing is, it's not about us.
That's right.
It's what God chooses to do in our lives.
Amen.
God bless you. I love you. I'm done.
Amen.